fried egg requires a different technique. What you need to do is actually square the face so it'll dig down underneath that bad lie and propel that ball right out onto the green.
Here's the thing, playing out of a buried lie in a bunker is completely different than playing out of a nice, clean lie in a greenside bunker.
You need to be aggressive on any shot, whether it's sitting cleanly or it's a fried egg.
Well, we've all faced it, the dreaded fried egg. It's not to be feared, though. It's actually a pretty easy shot to hit.
All right, welcome back to Explorations Podcast here. I'm Andy Johnson. I'm with Brendan Porath, as well as Cameron Hurtis. And I think we're talking about, I feel like every time you take a golf trip, there are courses that you're extremely excited to play. For us, I think this trip that was Royal County Down and Royal Portrush, I think that's obviously going to be the case most times on a Northern Ireland trip. But I always find that there are usually unique off the beaten path courses that you haven't heard a lot about, maybe have been downplayed by people along the way, in the lead up, and they kind of they make you feel good, they make you feel excited, you have the satisfaction of I'm happy I came here. When we went to Scotland a few years ago, that course was Dunbar for me. I was just like so happy we went. This year with this Northern Ireland trip, that golf course was Castle Rock. So Castle Rock is a little bit west of Portrush and Port Stewart. It is really close to Port Stewart's golf course, actually. It's like a bit of a drive around because you have to drive around the Bon River, but it is, you know, you're playing effectively in the extension of the dunes across the river from these massive dunes that we'll talk about at Port Stewart in another episode. And it's this extension of this land. It's across the river and they're a little bit smaller in scale. There's some holes that are not in the dunes that I think probably are some of the weak points of the golf course that people feel like are weak, but I found them quite pleasant. Overall it's a really fun golf course with some really outstanding golf holes. Cameron, what was your kind of first impressions of Castle Rock?
Yeah, I think Castle Rock was probably, of all the sort of main courses we had on our itinerary that we were going to see, was probably the biggest question mark, right? And, you know, we went on their website beforehand. I was looking at pictures. Seemed like maybe there was a stretch of some flattish holes in the beginning and obviously some impressive dunes in the middle, but didn't really know what to expect. And I think I came away as like that. Yeah, that was the most charming sort of course we played. You mentioned Dunbar, which I was there last year, and it was a very similar feeling. And actually, I felt like of all the courses we played, Castle Rock probably in sections felt the most Scottish, like had maybe some of the linksiest land on like some of the holes in the middle of the course, in terms of like fairway contours and just like the smaller rumples that you tend to see over there. But yeah, just a really enjoyable round of golf.
The one thing that I found, we talked a little bit about this with Ardglass, like varied settings. As Cameron just said, there's like a Scottish feel to it with smaller rumples. There's maybe a Port Stewart feel to it with some of the larger dunes, not all the way. There's like the first you go out, you're playing near, like it's charming, right? You're playing, the trains are, you're next to a train track. It's got quirk, which I know can be sort of a loaded term, with internal out of bounds, right? Some goofy, some out of bounds down the right. You've got a boundary, you've got the train tracks, but then you come back to the dunes. There's got a Scottish feel, you know, you're going to deal with some burns or I don't know, whatever they call it, creeks here, cutting in front of greens. Like it's just varied in a way that it felt like there were a few more elements that we haven't seen at some of the other courses.
Yeah, I saw in Tom's confidential guide, he only gave it a 4, which I found, I disagreed with it. I thought it was really a good course. And I think one of the things I was thinking about like why Tom might have given it a 4. And I thought you know, one of the things that Tom always says is that a golf course has to make an impression in the first five holes. Somebody told me that it actually might be, his expression might be the three holes. I think on the pod he said five. I think he tells his associates three. And I think Castle Rock, it's a slow starter, much like my golf game. I'm always a slow starter. But it really gets going. And I think from like seven on, it's a super impressive golf course. And it really has a lot of, and I don't think like one through six are bad holes. I think there's a lot of cool stuff going on those holes. But from really the stretch of like seven through 10, I think is as good of a stretch as we've played. You know, you're talking about like Royal County Downs front nine or Port Stewart's front nine or any stretch of holes you could put together at Port Rush. You're putting, but like six through 10, I got off the 10th hole and I was like, holy smokes, this place is unbelievable. So I think the golf course, it just, I mean, there's just so many neat holes out there, and the dunes that it goes through in the middle of the round and then at the end of the round are magnificent and scaled really well for golf. I think Port Stewart's dunes are too big to play over in a lot of situations or play along. You kind of play in between them, and it's like a crazy experience because you can't believe the landforms. But here, the experience in the dunes is playing over them, around them, along them. Like it's very varied. Cameron, is there a hole that really stood out to you?
Yeah, there were a few. Well, I mean, jumping way ahead, we haven't talked about it. I think 17 is like the selfie rock hole.
No other course has a selfie rock. And for that alone, you have to visit Selfie Stone.
Sorry, yeah. I mean, honestly, you stand on top of the tee. You get sort of, there's a high point, which is cool because I thought the front nine was going to be much flatter, but actually it's like this hill that you sort of play along on a few of the holes. So there's actually quite a bit of slope off the hill. And then 17, you get up to the top and you're hitting down into this, the best links land on the course. And you can see at that point, three countries. If the sun's out, you can see Scotland, Ireland, and Northern Ireland from, but yeah, so you play into this land that also occupies essentially 10, 9, 8, and then even 7 as well. I don't know if I could pick a favorite hole from, but I think that sort of stretch is probably the best stretch of golf on the course.
It's so neat how the routing, just the sequencing of the course gets you there. It's so rare that like you come in a golf course that you get to like the big point in the golf course at the end of the round, and I think there is something to that. Like you kind of start your climb up this hill on like the 14th hole. You start climbing up, and then you know you're kind of going up this hill, and then you feel like you're getting really high up. Like I feel like on 15, I'm like, is this the spot that you could see three countries from? And then you get up there, and it's like just an amazing, that tee shot's so thrilling. You're so high up and the wind's just blasting and you just feel like you can just launch it. And then you get down. And I think what's cool about that hole is that if you don't hit a good tee shot, if you hit a good tee shot, you can get home in two. But if you don't hit a good tee shot, then you're dealing with this really unbelievable choppy linksland in your layup. And I think that layup is super interesting and compelling, like in the sense of like, where do I play? Do I play a little bit back? Do I play down into where it kind of dips down and it gets a little bit more narrow? Or do I try and push it over that section? And the green sight's amazing. You see, like, it's kind of just tucked behind a mound.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I don't even think I finished that hole. I hit it into the left rough and then lost a ball in the gorse. So I was just sort of wandering up the left side. I think nine, though, is like a particularly stunning golf hole as well. Coming off eight, which is like maybe one of the best par fours we've played on the trip. And then Gordon, our amazing caddy, also the caddy master, let us play off the back tee, which isn't usually open, I guess, in the winter, but or at least to see the hole. And it's just set in like this huge amphitheater of dunes. It's got like an interesting little rocky like pond just like randomly in the middle, and then you can't see most of the green. And then he told us if you play it up the left, you can feed it in. And when we got up there, it's just like this amazing little collection of like natural humps and bumps that you can utilize if you miss the green right. You can also play off it. Yeah, just a really, really interesting hole.
I loved how like there's, it's almost like it's a bowl of dunes. So it's like you're like the green sat down in the bottom of it and there's high dunes around. But then on the right and left, there's all these little tiny ones. And like if you, the wind was blowing so hard in off the left, that hole is impossible with that wind.
Yeah. And I mean, it's 220 yards from the back tee and the predominant wind is hard into off the left.
Yeah. And you don't want to miss right.
So you're like trying to punch a driver three wood through this wind.
It's a brutal hole, but it's an amazing hole. Amazing. And the best is like, if you, I was over on the right in the dunes and I just was I sat there, I hit like six shots trying to hit like a six iron runner that used the slope on the left and came back to the hole. It's just, I could play that hole over and over again. I mean, 10 was my favorite.
10's amazing.
It's just like this classic golf hole. I mean, you tee off a little bit low, the tee shot's semi blind, and there's a big, it's very clear that left is bad. Like bad. It's on the edge of a ridge and the whole bank's right to left. I felt like this was just like a hole that you could put on Shinnecock and it would fit in. Or, you know, you could put this hole really on any golf course that we've played, on the, you know, in terms of like Port Rush or Royal County Down, this hole would fit there because of just the way the land is. But the whole bank's right to left, so you're trying to hit it up the right side and you'll catch the speed slot. So you kind of go up off the tee and then everything falls down to the green. And, you know, you can hit a myriad of shots into the green. You could bounce it in, you can fly it in. But the ground on the way in is just like a ocean of waves.
Rippling. And I do think actually like you utilize the slope off the tee. You want to get left because actually I believe short right was because it's a hollow. And there is actually a little path on the left side if you're playing a low shot along the ground. There's actually an access point along the ground on the left. So if you can get it over this sort of massive roughy hollow on the left off the tee, that's the spot to get to.
Brendan, did you have a favorite hole?
I was gonna say 9 or 10. You guys just went with the 10, you know, and 17. I'll go with 8 preceding that, right? 8 is kind of a pretty cool hard right, and you start climbing again through the dunes. I would say more than any course we played, I watched you guys and I felt, for me personally, he had the opportunity to do the ground game stuff, really. And that's maybe just by circumstance or wherever balls were on the preceding courses. We're at the end of our trip here. And to speak to your comment earlier about feeling most like a Scottish Lynxland, you guys were playing a lot of those shots, or at least experimenting with them, whether it was a low runner or from whatever it is, 120 yards, just kind of using the rumples within, again, around in these pretty significant dunes. But that internal or the smaller rumples, you guys were running a lot of shots. 8 has a little bit of that too, but you're starting your climb. And I just love that, you know, you don't have to hammer driver. I mean, you can, if you kind of just baby one out there and get to the corner and then you have to play up the hill. I really enjoyed 8, and it's kind of chalk right in that middle of that really stunning stretch.
It's such a cool hole because it kind of like it jogs right off the tee and then jogs back left a little bit. It's like almost an S, right? With how it sits in that. And it's just like, it's kind of like you're blind. So if you hit it over the blind part off the tee, which is the right, it opens up the green. But if you play left and safe, then you're blind on your next shot to the green, which is, I thought was so cool. Just this fairway just kind of sits down in this depression in between probably like what would you say, 10, 15 foot dunes there?
Yeah, about that. Yep. A couple other quick hitters, like interesting features. Six is when you start to come back, right? Five, you go way out. Six, you start to come back. Just a fun hole. Like you probably don't hit driver. You shouldn't hit driver. And then there's that little, like, I don't know, burn or creek going in front of the green. Just fun, challenging. Green seems like people putt off the front of the green into the burn a fair amount during member play.
It sounds like, too, so the predominant wind, you will play the first five out downwind.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable turning back there. You're right on the bon, the estuary, which is beautiful. And you turn and it's your first shots into the wind, and your first shot into the wind on the golf course, like your first approach shot, you have to hit it over a creek. And we all got just smoked by the wind. I mean, we came up short of the creek. Yeah. You had no clue how strong the wind was because you're playing down to start.
Yep. So fun hole. Another quick hitter, 12, just a feature. There's a giant mound in the middle of the fairway that obscures the green from the tee. Like, can I go right of it? Do I go over it? Do I go left? You know, another reason, maybe take a caddy, but just the natural, right? That's been there. It's this big ass mound, big ass hump that is what, 20 feet, 15 feet high, that blocks
you
the,
wanna,
blocks
you
want to
be on the right side of it. It's kind of down the center. I went left. It was a really bad angle into the green. And it slows down. If you like hit into it, it slows it down. But if you can sneak it on the right or the left of it, your ball is going to go 20, 30 yards further. The only place I've ever seen a feature like that in like the center of the fairway, I mean, it's huge. The only place I've ever seen that is Santa Anita in Los Angeles, which was like all created. And you play over these like crazy. I mean, it's like a 15, 20 foot high hill in the middle of the fairway that's got like slopes off the right, off the left, and it's just so neat because it kind of like you don't encounter those kinds of things in the middle of the fairway very often.
It was huge. Yeah, like you sort of want to favor as close to the center as possible, but like you said, because it's so big, if you're 2 yards left, you're going to kick into a terrible spot, and if you miss it right, kicks hard right, also not a great spot. You sort of want to go right center over the top of it.
Yeah.
And then just last quick hitter is 15 tee shot is like totally blind. Not the best maybe hole out there, but I don't know. It brings an element of just variation, right? Where now all of a sudden there's this giant climb in front of me. Where am I? What is my line? What am I hitting over? It's just, I don't know. It's another sort of change up in the round that I have a massive hill in front of me off the tee. It's a little bit of like RCD just in blindness, in terms of blindness, like what's in front of me, where am I going?
Cameron, I thought one of the things that you enjoyed was the style of the bunker. What about the bunkers did you like?
Yeah, they were, I couldn't tell. Some seemed to be revetted, but they were just like cut out, it seemed like, of the ground, which was kind of cool looking. They were sort of like smooth faced, and just like, yeah, cut a circle out of the ground.
Like literal just circular holes.
Yeah, just a hole. James Duncan would have loved them. Just a shadow and a hole.
I will say, the one thing that I was kind of down about is that I don't like the new work that's being done at the golf course. They've been reworking a lot of greens there, and I just think that, you know, the rework of the greens has led to like these symmetrical bunker patterns where it's like front right, front left, back right, and to me that golf course almost doesn't need any bunkers. I think the golf course, because of the way the ground is, when you put where they've been putting new bunkers in, is almost taking away from the ground. There will be places where your ball would just roll down a hill into a really bad spot, but they put a bunker there to stop and it stops it. And I think the bunkers, or the idea of the bunkers, was hard. And then the other thing is, like, I think the greens, the style of the greens, it's really easy to pick out what's new and what's old. The old ones kind of just sit on the ground and have these like slopes, and the new ones kind of all sit up with like kind of these little like runoff areas, and you can just tell that the land's really been manipulated in a monotonous way. So, you know, that's the one critique I would have, is that I think that if you just let the place be, it'd be it just, it has a way, the holes that haven't been worked on have just this amazing way of just kind of sitting there.
Yeah, it's a simplistic thing to say, but the old greens feel old and the new greens feel new, and it's a little jarring. I mean, we're talking, I think the stretch of 6 through 10 has one bunker, so really 7 through 10 has zero bunkers. And then,
6 has one bunker, which yeah, you could green. And it's a cool bunker. You could absolutely get rid of it and it would be fine.
Yeah. It probably, again, is just saving balls from spinning back into the creek, I would guess. But you then get up to 11 green, and I think there were three or four just around the green.
That's a cool hole, too.
It is cool.
And it doesn't need the bunkers because of the way the land worked. And I think there's just this, it goes to attempting to make a golf course harder. I think that's one of the things that is big over here is difficulty. We've had all the locals love to talk about stroke index and what's the hardest hole. And I think, you know, like a lot of these holes are their most interesting self when they're just working on the land, which is just so, I mean, the land is so amazing here for golf that I just think that when the less that goes into disturbing the land, the better the golf is in general.
Just a couple details. Like, we had a awesome day. It was super sunny. We could see the whole Three Countries thing from that selfie, you know, the top of the hill.
Selfie stone.
17T. Amazing. So that played into it. I'd say similar to Ardglass, like, there are other pillars in the area, like Royal County Down, Royal Port Rush up here in Port Stewart, that I think the hospitality you're going to get, like at an Ardglass and at a Castle Rock, is incredible. Like, they are super excited and happy to have you there and will take care of you. Gordon was amazing. He's a caddy master. You know, I'd recommend, it sounds like they have a really strong caddy program. It's not going to be as expensive as some of the others. They also have a 9-hole course. It looks like it's 35 pounds during high season. We're going to see that. We've come highly, highly recommended by a lot of locals.
I shot drone footage of it yesterday. It's unreal looking. Yeah. I mean, it you just see some of the holes, and there's a lot less bunkers there, which is nice. Like, there's just some bunkerless holes. There's like a mini Dell hole, which is like a wedge, and for the there's like a skinny front left section and then a wide back section, and it's set, there's two massive dunes on the right and left side. So, like, I think the majority of the days a pin is in the back section completely blind from the tee. So cool, so awesome. So I can't wait to get out there and see that today.
Yeah, the amount of people, once we said we were there, that told us to play the 9, we're going back to do it. The short 9 or the wee 9.
We had to chase some light.
Yeah.
We had to depart after our 18. We planned to play all 27 yesterday, but it was unexpectedly sunny, so we had to, it threw us into to go shoot some places. But yeah, I think, like, one of the things that I've been enamored with, and we'll probably talk in more detail about, but this area, this northern coast, is an amazing, amazing area. Like, the Causeway Coast is absolutely stunning. There's a lot of stuff to do outside of golf because it's like, I mean, that Causeway Coast road is like one of the most beautiful roads I've ever been on. I'm talking, like, it's like, you know, you got the PCH in California, or the road drive from Bandon to Northern California is stunning, but that Causeway Coast road is unreal. And, you know, there's great beaches, there's surfing, there's food. But, like, one of the things is, I feel like people don't come up here unless they have that Dunluce tee time. And I think if you went on like a trip, if you're on a non-golf trip, this is a great place to go with like your family. And I would, like, if you went on a week trip here and you played 3 rounds of golf, if you did Castle Rock, the Valley Course, and Port Stewart, that'd be an awesome golf trip with your family, right? Where, like, I think that's, like, the thing is, like, if you put Castle Rock in America, it would be a $400-$600 round. Like, people would talk about it all the time. But here, it's just like kind of an afterthought. And it's an amazing place that if you come here, you should see.
Yeah, it's completely worth the drive. There's some rounds that and places that just from a golf sense feel very restorative. We're going to talk about Port Stewart in another pod, but and it's obviously just across the river, but I just feel like the setting for these two golf courses was it just felt very, very restorative. It's just a wonderful place to play golf.
All right, Castle Rock, don't miss it. We will be back with another episode here soon.